On today's Arabidopsis Research Roundup, I'm joined by Andrew Fleming from the University of Sheffield, actually currently on sabbatical in Cambridge, though. And we're talking about a new paper just published in Development with the title of An Ancestral Stomatal Patterning Module Revealed in Non-Vascular Land Plant Fiscomatrella Patterns. So Arabidopsis Research Roundup, but with a moss angle today. So thank you very much, Andrew, for joining us. And it would be great if you could give us a description of this paper.
Okay, yeah, thanks. As you said, the starting point for this research is or was Arabidopsis. And if you look at Arabidopsis leaves, in fact, leaves of all the main plants that you see outside, under a microscope, you'll find they're covered with small pores called stomata, which allow gases into and out of the plant. And as a result of a substantial body of work now, we have quite some insight into the molecular process which controls the patterning of how these stomata are distributed across the leaf. And essentially, it comes down to there's a peptide signaling factor. There's a family of genes encoded by epidermal patterning factors, EPFs, which interact with another family of receptors, encoded by the Erector and the TMM family. And the question that we posed was to basically say, okay, that's how it works in modern-day plants, in angiosperms. Does this reflect an ancient pathway? So when was this patterning system rooted during plant evolution? So to do this, we turned to a model basal plant called Fiscomatrella patens, which is a moss, a bryophyte. And mosses are quite distinct from the flowering plants that you see around you in that most of the plant that you see on the ground, the little greeny bits, are actually haploids, phase of the life cycle. Mm-hmm. Distinct from the angiosperms that you see, where the large parts of the plant that you see above ground are diploid. But mosses like Fiscomatrella do have a diploid phase. It's called a sporophyte. And at particular times of the year, they make a little capsule, which is a little brown capsule you can see by eye. Okay. And in this capsule, that's where these spores are made. That's where meiosis occurs, to create the spores which distribute the next generation of the plant around the parent plant. And if you look very carefully at the base of this little capsule, there's a small ring of stomata. So okay. Mosses do have stomata. Not many of them, and they're very closely regulated in a small part of the plant. And so we set out to take an evo-devo approach to say, okay, does the patterning system that we found in Arabidopsis exist in Fiscomatrella, and does it function in a comparable fashion? Mm-hmm. So first of all, what you do is to look through the gene basis. Again, we already had done some work on here, actually doing some targeted microarrays where you dissect out hundreds of these very small
molecules.
Yeah. And then you identify which genes are being expressed in that tissue. And yeah, a presto, you do find that there are some homologs of the patterning system found in Arabidopsis present in Fiscomatrella. Mm-hmm. And this allowed us then to use a gene targeting approach, because one of the advantages of using this moss Fiscomatrella is that you can do targeted recombination. So in an analogous way to the way you can yeast, as you know which gene it is you want to knock out, you can create constructs, make transgenics, and then knock out specific genes in the genome, which is essentially what we did. And a very long story short, the take-home message is that this patterning system that you find in Arabidopsis, in angiosperms, so the EPF-TMM erector pathway, is present in moss, and it functions in a comparable fashion. It's pretty strong evidence that this patterning system is pretty ancient, and it was recruited probably at a very early stage in the evolution of plants, in particular as they move from water to land, because stomata in evolutionary terms will be really essential element to allow plants to encroach and to actually populate very dry or more arid areas.
Right. Yeah, okay. So did you find in the moss that they have a similar number of genes involved in this process as Arabidopsis?
They still have quite a number of genes. One advantage we did find was that in the EPFs, so the peptide factor, which is involved in there was actually only one clear homolog in the MOS, so that made the knockout much easier.
Yes,
and similarly with the TMM, which is one of the receptor-like proteins, there's only really one candidate gene. So for those knockouts, that made it much easier. We're pretty confident that something would happen. With the Erector family of receptor kinases, there's a small gene family. And again, there we were guided by our expression analysis, which allowed us to home in on one sort of favorite gene.
Okay.
So, yeah, it was a reasonable task in that the genetic redundancy was not too bad, but there's still a potential there for other genes being involved. And our data would agree with that this is not the whole story. There are other EPF-like proteins and other Erector-like receptor kinases probably also involved in fine-tuning the system.
Right, okay. So, yeah, so if you look at the figures in the paper, the images of the TMM MOS mutants in particular, very reminiscent of what you see in leaf patterning in Arabidopsis, certainly where all the stomata are squeezed together, then there's no files of epidermal cells between them. So is this work going to lead on to future studies, maybe looking at any hormone responses or looking at other members of this pathway? This pathway, as far as I can tell, so I was just at the Arabidopsis meeting in Korea, and there was another couple of signaling molecules which had been defined by members of Dominic Bergman's lab about the stomatal patterning. Whether that's a plan for you and your collaborators in Sheffield?
We have actually got more work going on. This is actually going further downstream on the signal transduction pathway, going down towards a number of transcription factors, which again, the mute family is a whole series of transcription factors which are known to be involved in expressing the patterning in Arabidopsis.
Okay.
And upstream of the transcription factors is a number of, kinases, which again, at a sequence level, seem to be conserved. And again, the data that we're getting at the moment also suggests there's been a conservation in the actual signal transduction pathway. So it does appear that it's the whole module from the peptides, receptors, signal transduction pathway down to the transcription factor has been conserved, or at least very similar in modern-day MOS and modern-day angiosperms, and therefore it seemed reasonable to infer that way back when, a few hundred million years ago, this whole pathway was recruited towards controlling where and when stomata form.
Yeah, absolutely, and therefore it'll be interesting to find out actually what the differences are.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you look at the gene numbers, that is suggests that is true, that the gene families do seem to be, I think, larger in Arabidopsis, where you have a much larger body of the plant, which has to adapt more to the environment. So what the leaf does is sometimes different from what the stem does, it's sometimes different from what the flower does. Whereas in MOS, since they only occur in this very localized band of tissue, their function appears to be exactly what their function is. It's actually still a bit unclear in MOS.
Right,
but
okay.
Their function here is a bit more refined or defined than I think you'd find in Arabidopsis, which, other angiosperms, their real power is that they can adapt to many different environments, and therefore modulating the numbers, the patterns of their stomata is probably evolutionary a trick, which is very useful in that situation.
I see. Excellent. Okay, well, as with all the research we feature here, we look forward to future outputs as well. So thank you very much, Andrew, for joining us today.